I'm Doug Nadvornik. Today on the Inland Journal podcast, correspondent John Vlahovic brings us the first of six interviews with the candidates for Spokane Valley City Council. Today, he talks with Tim Hattenberg. He's one of two finalists in one of the three races for position six. Hattenberg is a retired educator. His opponent is chiropractor Bo Tucker. We'll hear from Tucker in tomorrow's podcast. Tim Hattenberg is a Spokane Valley native. He taught history and geography and served as athletic director in the Central Valley School District for 20 years. And he spent 10 years on the Spokane County Library District Board of Trustees, serving terms as chair and vice chair. Hattenberg has also invested in properties and high-risk short-term loans to people who were buying properties. He and his wife authored a historical book about a couple murdered in Montana. Here's John Vlahovic with Tim Hattenberg.
Tim, give me a little background on you've been in education and you've run for other political offices.
Yes, actually in 2004, I ran against Bob McCaslin Sr. for the state Senate, Matt Shea in 2008 for the state House. I then became involved in other local, I worked as a researcher for the history of Spokane Police Department. I really enjoyed that. Then the opportunity to be on the Spokane County Library Board of Trustees came by me, to me, and I spent 10 years, 2 5-year terms, and it was term limited. I was vice chair for 3 years and chair for 4 years over a multi-million-dollar budget, representing an area of almost 500,000 people. I really enjoyed that. I think, and I mentioned this to other people before, this has kind of led me into this. I was before the city council in the Valley probably a couple times a year for 10 years on bond issues and the like and our budgeting process. The Valley Library is the largest in the county, but it is run by the county. It's not run by the city, and they annexed to us, and that was all cooperation. We had some very great cooperation with the city council on purchasing property across from what is now City Hall. We own half that property. I'm saying we as a county library district. It's hard to not say that. And hopefully at some point there'll be a decision in the next 3 or 4 years maybe to run another bond or something. And there's a lot of other ways of looking at what it would cost in that property. If we don't run another bond, if the county library district and that money, there is money in reserve that will be sent back to the library district. So I spent a number of years negotiating with and working with the city. I thought it was very positive most of the time. I was encouraged by more than a few former council members and mayors and also the back of the sheriff, Ozzie Knezovich, to run for this position because of my background and experience.
And is that the primary reason that you're running, because you've been encouraged and because of your background?
That was probably the thing that put me over the top. I've lived in the Valley since I was 6 years old. I started in first grade at Progress Elementary, went through the Central Valley School District. I graduated from Central Valley. I started working in the fields when I was 12 years old. I'm from a large family. There are 8 of us. And so most of my siblings and I, it was hard not to find work when you grow up in the Valley with all the orchards and everything there. So that was a great experience. I've seen a lot of change in growth, and some people are really concerned about the growth. It's going to grow, and my feeling is if it's going to grow, let's have smart growth and work with communities and people. And just to say, well, no, we can't let it grow or we can't do this, it's not going to happen. There is areas and neighborhoods that can retain their semi-rural identity, which I think we can maintain that. And so I've seen a lot of that. I've seen a lot of the changes, and I want to be part of that change. And I think they could be a positive change situation.
One of the criticisms that comes up periodically is that the Spokane Valley, there's no there to speak of. It's just a series of strips.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of define what you mean by smart growth. Would it take it into account to be more consolidation and more city center?
Not necessarily city center, because I think of the makeup of it, some cities aren't going to be like that. There's not going to be a downtown core like you have in the city of Spokane. It's just set up differently. And as you go across the state, you'll find those examples. But the Dishman area, there's people that want to hang on the Dishman neighborhood, and it's different geographically. As you move, you're going up a south hill in the foothills. Green Acres, where I grew up, is totally different than the Opportunity area, which is more of the, I guess you'd call it business district, the original business district. And same with Opportunity going north into Chester Hills. Ponderosa is its own distinct neighborhood. And you wouldn't see any growth there except residential And so that's where you come into with this, when I say the smart growth. There's been some ideas and things brought forth by the Planning Commission that the council has agreed with. There's been some that they've had some problems with. For example, if anyone's familiar who is listening from the Valley, with St. John Vianney off of Walnut and Valley Way, there is a large complex that they wanted to put in 3 or 4 years ago, I believe, was the initial rejection of that. It was brought forth again last spring, and the Planning Commission recommended on a 6-0 majority vote not to allow this large development, where 4 members of the City Council didn't agree. The 3 wanted to table it, they disagreed, and the 4 majority said, let's send it back to the Planning Commission and see where we can come up with that project growth in that neighborhood. And I'll tell you, if you go to that neighborhood and talk to the residents that live there, they don't want to see that happen. And again, having said that, I'm not against growth. There are certain areas and certain neighborhoods where you can have that. Just for a quick example, right around the corner from us where we've lived for 41 years by Broadway Elementary, there is an old home on about, I'd say, almost an acre. It's been a drug house, just to be blunt and honest with you about it. It's had problems over the years. It's been a fire trap with the way people have taken care of it. It was eventually bought out. A developer put in 3 duplexes, so you have 6 units total, high-end. The landscaping is outstanding. We drove around watching them put it together, putting sidewalks that they didn't have to. So there's positive things going on. There's developers that are very responsible with what they do. And so some people's attitudes, if you put duplexes in, it lowers the value of your property. However, in this case, it actually increased the value of the property area. So that's why I say a neighborhood-by-neighborhood basis. It depends which area you're looking at.
So what do you see as the City Council's role in growth and in planning?
Well, I interviewed with the Home Builders Association. They didn't endorse me. It was very, very friendly and conversation, but they wanted yes or no answers. And to explain that more specifically, as I just said, there's certain areas where you can't just have a one-size-fits-all that they would like to see, I believe. I would certainly cooperate with them and have them invite them to the council and bring across, approach us with their ideas and what their plans are. For example, there's a large multi-unit housing project going in between Flora and Conklin off of Sprague Avenue, which has the infrastructure for multi-use. So that's appropriate for that area. So again, that's another example where that could happen. And we need that type of housing for younger people. Many aren't buying homes. They can't afford to. And that gives them an opportunity to have someplace.
Spokane Valley has been fortunate since its incorporation that its finances have been pretty stable. In fact, more than they've had to spend. And the same is true with the projected budget that's coming up for this coming year. They're talking about another budget surplus. Where are you on the budget debate? Should they be banking or saving as much money as they're saving, or do you see needs that need to be covered right now?
I think we could do both. I said it on the 2020. We were invited, all candidates were invited to the 2020 budget session, and I was very impressed, as you are, and I'm proud of the fact that we do have surpluses projected in the future. When I was on the library board, we had a capital projects fund similar to what the Valley has for street repairs. And we would do the same thing. We would bank surplus dollars into the capital projects fund, earmarking for that only. And on the 10 years I was on the board, we not only purchased properties throughout Spokane County, but we left with a surplus in the capital budgets fund. So I believe anytime you have a projected surplus and you can bank money to do so, that doesn't mean we shouldn't spend some of that on certain areas. For example, we're really down in the parks. We're upside down in our park size for a city our size, our park system. That doesn't mean to spend all the surplus. I would not do that. I certainly would not go for a tax increase for a street repair road fund. I would rather see that come out of bank money or surplus funds and work together some permanent source of revenue without a tax increase. I don't think that's needed at the time. And I think once you go down that road, no pun intended, I think you might be looking at, that tax is there, it's not going to go away.
What about the long range, the bridging the valley, for instance? They're looking at new interchanges at Barker Road and Trent and at Pines and Trent and Park Road and Trent, as I understand.
Yes, in fact, right now that we're, as far as the Barker project and Pines project, Barker, it'll actually start They'll be breaking ground next spring. And they've actually started a leg of it already, and it's called Garland Road that extends out to take traffic off Barker when they have to close it out of the industrial area. And that is fully funded. And we're taking the same approach with the Pines. They are initiating that. We got a $1.2 million federal fund with no tax increase to start that project. And once you get to the point where the federal government is starting to approve of those funds, because they're hard to get nationwide, there's a lot of people that apply for those, then you usually the ball's rolling in the right direction, so to speak. And I think we'll be okay on that. And, of course, we definitely earmark money set aside for our matching funds from state and federal dollars for those. So both those projects, Barker already, there will not be any kind of a tax increase. Pines, I'd have to see how much we would come up with. We'd get a hard dollar number in probably 3 or 4 years, but try to bank especially for that so we can also build that project as we will with Barker without an increase in taxes.
That said, there has been concern about the ongoing maintenance of existing streets.
Correct.
So what's your take on that?
Well, and I think there's some ideas out there, and one would be I'd like to see this. We'd look at this. We have new industries we haven't had before. Large, Katerra, for example, on the Barker area, the industrial area. There's others that are looking to relocate or locate in the valley. Those are property tax funds we didn't have previously. I'd like to see us set aside funds from those rather than increase property taxes on the local homeowners. That would put more burden on them and put that in a separate fund for a road repair tax fund. That's an idea, and there might be other ways, but I would definitely explore other options of funding without a tax increase.
There is a lot of growth, particularly down in the southeast area, the Saltese area, all of which is in Spokane Valley itself. It's out in the county.
Mm-hmm.
And so where do you see the Spokane Valley City Council and Spokane County getting together to kind of mitigate the impact of all that growth?
That is an issue. I believe it's off of 24th and Sullivan where they're having an issue where the county is building literally on the south side of 24th and the north side is in the city. And then they're using roads, which they have to. I understand that. And some of the residents would say, well, we need road repairs there because they're building there. So we have to sit down and work in a regional manner on that, just like we do other things. And I think we have to, because it's going to continue to grow out there. And that's going to impact both the county and the city.
Some of the financial success has come from the fact that Spokane Valley does not run its own police department, its own fire department. Mm-hmm. It contracts with Spokane County for law enforcement. Can that continue?
Yeah, well, actually, I would hope so, because, and speaking with the sheriff, there are some there's people who have talked about they want their own police force, some members of the city council. I don't know why we'd want to duplicate services that we already have. In fact, the nationwide trend is to regionalize things, to keep costs down and also not have to duplicate services. We have a court out in the valley that is run through the county. We'd have to start all over with that, from my understanding. We would look at millions of dollars to recreate our own Valley Police Force, which I feel the county sheriff's department is doing an excellent job right now.
What big issue is driving your candidacy? What do you see as a need that is not being met?
What I get a lot at the doors and my volunteers is that people, they feel like there's a lack of transparency, whether that's real or perceived. They cut the public comment time in half. There's times when they just stop people out of order. People feel like they are out of touch to a certain point. And having said that, I think they've done some very good things, as I've said. But we're hearing that quite a bit. And the biggest concern is growth from the people out the doorstep about, you know, what's going to happen in the neighborhood? Are we going to be, you know, can we even have any infrastructure needs? Can we get in and out of our neighborhood with growth? So I'd say the lack of transparency, how to handle growth, and of course the budget's always there. And I've had experience working with budgets in the library district and Central Valley School District for over 30 years and multi-million-dollar budgets, and look forward to doing the same in the city.
You mentioned earlier that the city's upside down on its parks. So if you had your druthers, what would you do with regard to parks? Would you be looking at acquiring property and developing as you go along, or do you have a long-term plan, or what?
I don't really have a long-term plan. I'd have to look more at the budget down. But I was at I did attend a meeting where all the city council members currently, one was not able to be there, and some former mayors, and it was total agreement in the room that probably the first option would be to acquire the property. Because if we don't do that, we're behind the eight ball to start, because as you know, the values are just going up and there's less land. Not only that, to also improve and expand in the ones we have. I think they've done an excellent job with Browns Park, for example. It's a tournament level volleyball park that attracts people from outside the area and brings in tax dollars or spending to the city. Mirabeau Park will also be expanded, I believe, starting next spring. And with that said, we need to acquire property when possible, and then from there go on to the development of that. And, of course, Balfour is on the top of the list. That's sitting there undeveloped right now.
You mentioned earlier that the people in Dishman look at themselves as Dishman, the people in Greenacres look at themselves as Greenacres. Mm-hmm. How do you kind of make a unified whole of this geographical vicinity?
I think that's a very good question. And I think all the things we talked about, like managing growth and the park systems and maintaining our infrastructure and public safety, I think the people all throughout the city will get more of a feeling of community when those things are, we continue those and improve upon those. And then they feel like they have an ear at City Hall and that people will respond to them. And I'm getting that feeling now. There's people, because it's still new to some people, and people have moved in. Some of it's hard to even find the boundaries for some people, but they're feeling more like they belong. And I think that's just part of a maturation process of getting involved and seeing, oh, here's a park. Here's what the city's doing for us. Here's what they're continuing to do for us. And industry coming in. And people saying, hey, we have a possibility for job growth, that makes them part of the city. When you have the industrial area clear on the east side, east end, and people are now working there and traveling back into their neighborhoods, I think they see more of that coming together.
Looking region-wise, particularly your neighboring city of Spokane has had some criticisms that they're not getting support from the region, especially city of Spokane Valley, in dealing with homeless problems and panhandling and this sort of thing. Do you have any kind of a vision as to how you go about dealing with people who are chronically homeless?
Well, and to answer your first part is I was attending a meeting when the perception and some negative comments were made to that city to the west from some council members. And so there are some issues there. They were speaking in front of a housing and urban development presentation that how money is spent on homelessness throughout the region and by demographics. And that was a response by one of the council members, which I thought was not necessary. And I've also spoken to people in the city, and we definitely need to sit down there. I did hear some comments when the state released some more funds just without a tax increase to deal with homelessness and send them to the cities and counties and towns and that are working with that we should pull those funds together. And that's a start, and sit down and have the communication and work together. At some point, we probably are looking at some kind of a shelter in the valley. And I would like to sit down with the sheriff's department on that one and say, what's your situation? If you have to transport people, we don't have one shelter, and then you transport them down the city, are we picking up the costs? Are we covering that cost? Which I think is fair to say we should be. That's the right thing to do. But first, we have to have the dialogue, and the dialogue has to go away from us versus them and in cooperation, as well as with the county. And I think the release from the state funds that increased funding for all three of those entities would be a starting point with the dialogue.
The controversy that you mentioned earlier with the development near the St. John Vianney Church, mm-hmm. was primarily they didn't want the density in that area. But
that's correct.
But the project was originally planned as a low to moderate income housing project. So leaving the density question aside, mm-hmm. Do you have any problems with low to moderate income housing development within Spokane Valley?
Not at all. In fact, that would be an ideal place. I would love to go to that neighborhood and say, okay, they didn't want a 56-unit apartment building, for example. But and if you're having duplexes, for example, for low senior cost income, low income, to me, that's a positive to the area. That does not not improve the neighborhood. That's a stable community of people that are going to be paying their taxes and a positive input. You're not in danger of any crime type thing or anything like that. So I think that would lead to that discussion. And I think we need to see more of that in neighborhoods also.
We've been talking with Tim Hattenberg, who's running for the Spokane Valley City Council, the retired educator and who has served on the Spokane County Library Board and other commissions. Thank you for coming in, Tim.
Oh, thank you very much, John. Thanks for having me.
Hattenberg's opponent is Bo Tucker, whom John will interview in our next podcast. Two other council positions are up for grabs in Spokane Valley, and John will talk with those candidates in the next couple of weeks on the Inland Journal podcast. We're adding one new candidate interview a day at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Go to the Regional News tab and then click on Election 2019. Subscribe to the podcast at Apple Podcasts, NPR One, or Google Play. I'm Doug Nadvornik. Join us again tomorrow.